ਤੁਸੀਂ ਹੋ SBS ਪੰਜਾਬੀ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ।
If I can fulfill Puran Singh's last wish, I will come myself and try to take the ashes and try to give it to their family, which I come to know through you and through the media they are there, but they are financially not good enough. But I wish if I can do this type of work, I'll feel very proud and happy.
The speaker is Kapil Dev, the greatest fast bowler in Indian history, talking with SBS Radio's Punjabi program. 63 years after Mr. Singh died and was cremated in the quiet Southwest Victorian Coastal Centre of Warrnambool, Kapil Dev is coming to take him home. It is the final chapter in the story lying behind a simple plaque on a wall at the Warrnambool Cemetery, reading, Puran Singh died 8 June 1947, an Indian hawker in Western Victoria. The story begins in 1899 when the then 30-year-old bachelor from Uppal Bhopa village in the Punjab province of what was then British India set out to earn a better living in Australia. Like many other Punjabis of the time, he became a hawker, travelling from one country town to another, selling the goods piled into his horse-drawn wagon. Melbourne historian Len Kenner, a specialist in Indian arrival in Australia and especially in Victoria, says Indian hawkers thrived in the half century Mr. Singh worked at it.
Hawkers basically started with the arrival of the whaling ships in about 1792 and from there developed. And by the 1860s, they were travelling into northern Victoria and western New South Wales, but they had a very bad reputation. Yeah, they weren't to be trusted. And what happened was that the hawking tapered off, and then in the 1880s, Indian hawkers were introduced. They slowly built up a good name for themselves and for the occupation that they follow. And that continued on until early 1950s.
The Indian hawkers earned a good living, but Len Kenner's research partner, Crystal Jordan, says that does not mean the living was good. After Australia introduced the White Australia policy in 1901, the Indian population in the country quickly dwindled and the hawkers were, essentially, deprived of their countrymen. They could not bring families with them from India because the nature of their work meant they had no fixed abode. So many ended up spending their lives just on their own. Miss Jordan, whose father was born in India, was the one who discovered an old handwritten note about Puran Singh's ashes sitting at Warrnambool and just could not forget it. The date caught her attention.
It kept nagging at me because the date was 1947 that he died, and that's the year I was born, and I'm a migrant myself to Australia, and I've been here since 1948, so I thought, he's been sitting there as long as I've been in Australia.
Gayat's funerals in Warrnambool had handled that cremation. At that time, brothers Jack, Bert and Ern Gayat owned the business before it passed on to Jack's son, also Jack. Shortly before the younger Jack died in 1986, he passed on to his daughter, Alice Gayat Wood, something that was nagging him too.
Prior to his death, we had a conversation about Puran Singh's ashes, saying that they were still with us and should be organised, or he should have organised to send them back to India to the River Ganges to be scattered.
That had been Puran Singh's last request before he died at age 77, that his ashes be returned to India and spread in the holy river Ganges, according to Indian tradition. It was not written anywhere, just passed on to the Gayat family and down through the generations. Mr. Singh had written out a will, though, showing assets amounting to more than £2,300, enough to buy a house in those times. Some of the money went to a few local residents who presumably cared for him in the last stages of his life, and some went to the local hospital, as hawkers often donated. Len Kenner, the historian, says the rest was left to his four nephews in India. But Mr. Kenner says it was probably Indian history, the terrifying partition of India and Pakistan at independence, that left Mr. Singh's ashes stranded in Warrnambool.
That was at the same time as Poona Singh, and I'm sure that was a hit. Apparently there was arrangements for one of his relations to come out and pick up the ashes, and that's probably why that never happened.
In the late 1980s, at the suggestion of one of the cemetery's trustees, a plaque went up on the wall to give Puran Singh some recognition in his home away from home. Alice Guyatt-Wood says she thought perhaps one day she would get to India and deliver the ashes personally. But it was when Mr. Kenna told SBS Radio's Punjabi program about them and a broadcaster mentioned it to Kapil Dev in passing that the final piece of the story fell into place. Kapil Dev, named Cricketer of the Century for the cricket-crazed country that is India back in 2002, told the program he wanted to help.
I myself is delighted to do that work because if we can do that, you just feel happy and you feel proud if somebody's last wish can be fulfilled.
The story quickly became front page news in India, and Kapil Dev is now set to arrive in Australia later this month or in early August to take the ashes back. He met with the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of Mr. Singh's brother over the weekend in India. And Puran Singh's relatives in Britain have also told the Punjabi program that they also plan to fly in for the handover. Kapil Dev says he is deeply moved that the Guyatt family would save the man's ashes for 63 years. Alice Guyatt-Wood, the last of the three generations involved, just sounds content that in the end it has mattered.
After this long period of time, I think that for Puran Singh to go home to India, it would be the right time for that to happen.
SBS.
This is SBS Radio.
ਕੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੀਆਂ ਹੋਰ ਪੇਸ਼ਕਾਰੀਆਂ ਸੁਣਨਾ ਪਸੰਦ ਕਰੋਗੇ? Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify ਜਾਂ ਜਿੱਥੋਂ ਵੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਪੋਡਕਾਸਟ ਸੁਣਦੇ ਹੋ।